I want to welcome you to a sermon series called Where Do We Go From Here? And in the month of October, we are taking a look in John 14 and some selected verses that will really help enhance our understanding of the journey, really from this life to the next. And today we take another step in John 14, but we'll also have some other selected passages in the book of Revelation, just some ideas on heaven, actually some foundational beliefs on heaven that we will talk about today on where do we go from here. And the idea is to say, hey, we are to live our lives faithfully, but not yet the heaven in the fullness, not yet, but it's coming. And the reality of the way in which we live our lives will reflect the glory of God. So I'm glad you could be with us today. I'm Hayes McKay. As we celebrate and worship this great God of heaven, let's pray. God, into these moments, we ask that you would speak, that our hearts would be open, and let your Holy Spirit reign. We pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. You know, we're living right now in a season of our lives where we have different restrictions that are ongoing, not only like in the state of Alabama or in Dothan, Alabama, or in the nation or in the world. We are living one way or another. We're living under restrictions with COVID-19, really all of us. I don't know if you heard about an amusement park, but it's in Tokyo. It's called Thunder Dolphin, and it is an amazing roller coaster ride. Matter of fact, it's one of those that some of you would probably love to get on it and ride it and just have the time of your life. They say it's one of those powerful roller coasters made of steel, and it's fast and it's scary and all of this energy that's put into it. But due to COVID, there are restrictions now, you got to get this, on the roller coaster ride itself. They have now said in Tokyo that if you ride Thunder Dolphin, you are not, are you ready? You are not permitted to scream out loud. So how's that going to work out? You are not permitted to scream out loud because screaming, they say, will, of course, have the opportunity to spread the virus quickly. And so, no screaming. Now, the amusement park that has Thunder Dolphin decided to soften the wording for all the riders. And this is what it says. I'm not making it up. It says this: if you have to scream, please scream in your hearts. So if you have to scream, please scream in your hearts. You know, it's like, but no real sound, you know, no real effect, just scream in your heart. And I just find that kind of a hilarious thing. I've been on a few roller coasters and Thunder Dolphin I have not been on, but I've been on a few where screaming from my heart was not my experience. I was screaming out loud. And so think about it. You know, on one of the, you know, these incredible fast rides, you're going upside down, you're dropping, you're plunging 100 feet. I don't know. I've never been on this ride, but they say it's incredible. And right in the midst of it, as it drops, as it looks like it's about to fall out, they say, scream in your hearts. Just scream in your hearts. So they asked one of the riders who came off the ride what they thought about the restrictions, and the guy was real honest. He said, well, if you go on a roller coaster like this, if a scream comes out, it just comes out. And, you know, the reality is, of course, hey, why don't you just scream from your heart? And these are the restrictions that we live under. But Jesus said something really interesting. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. And when he said that, we talked about it last week, don't let your hearts be troubled. Life is built around kind of a roller coaster journey, isn't it? I mean, most of us, we live our lives and it's up and down and all around. It will drop like it's going 100 miles an hour. Sometimes it's moving up in a direction that we just don't want it to ever end because our career, our relationship, everything is in perfect harmony and we're so excited. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. And oftentimes, life is a roller coaster ride. And one of the things that Jesus addressed is, hey, life can be trouble. Life can be hard. And so, you know, down deep, none of us want to be troubled. I don't want it. You don't want it. I mean, it just comes through the journey of a roller coaster experience, right? It comes to all of us. And the way that we get through that, and I mentioned this last week, if you were able to connect with us, the way that we're able to get through that trouble, that experience, that moment of life, is to believe. And belief is when you put your weight on something so that it will help you move forward. And I believe that Jesus is the one that we put all our weight on so that we can move forward through life. And when you put your weight on anything other than Jesus, it won't hold up. I'm just going to be honest with you. It won't hold up in your life or mine. And the reason why we have so much frustration in our world, and the reason why we see so much anxiety in the world right now, is that people are putting their weight on the wrong things. And that's where they're living their lives, putting their weight on the wrong things. I mean, really think about it. Too many of us, we've put our weight on social structures to save us, and it won't hold up. Too many of us have put our weight on political situations or our positions, and it's probably not going to hold up. I'm just going to tell you that. It's just not going to hold up. A lot of times we'll put our beliefs or whatever in something that we want, and it won't hold up. It'll collapse. And some of us, we either feel stuck in life or we feel like we've fallen on our faces. And so in a season like the one we're in right now with the restrictions and COVID and facing cultural tensions and really dealing with health issues that are ongoing, here's what I want you to remember as we engage in God's word today. Our go-to is the gospel, and our creed is the cross. And I want you to really think about that. Our go-to is the gospel. Now, when I say our go-to is the gospel, that means our go-to is Jesus. And our creed is the cross. That is the finished work of Jesus. You know, his suffering, his death, his resurrection has forever changed our lives. And the most powerful thing about Jesus, and that's why I'm encouraging you to keep your focus on Jesus, is Jesus will not get caught up in limited and temporary solutions to life. Jesus will not do that. He will not allow that to happen in your life if you follow him, to get wrapped up in limited and temporary things of life. He will say, and he says it to me, and he says it to you, put all your weight on the transformative power of the love of Christ. On the love that I offer, Jesus says. Put all of your hope and your weight there. And when you do, you're going to see that it's only through Christ that your heart can be changed and mine. So in this season that you may find yourself in right now, here are the words, lean on Jesus. Now remember this in John 14. In John 14, remember, this is not a large crowd that Jesus is talking to. Remember, this is a very small crowd. It's the disciples and maybe a few others. And he's gathered them in the upper room, and Judas is left already to betray. He's washed their feet. Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. And in this moment, as he looks at all of them that he loves so much, he knows that they're about to face very difficult times. Things are going to be crazy for them, if you will. And the powerful thing about Jesus is he doesn't sugarcoat it like, hey guys, I'm going to be gone, but it's going to be okay. Don't worry. Everything will be fine. He doesn't sugarcoat it like that at all. What he really tries to tell them in John 14 is this. I want you to remember this world. This world is not your home. Watch what he does in John 14 verses 2 and 3. He's talking to the disciples and he says, my Father's house has many rooms, many dwelling places. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me, so that you will be with me wherever I am. And so he's giving them this word. So what he's saying is this, in the troubles that are to come, in the challenges that are to come, this is what he says. Hold on, not yet. He's talking about heaven. Hold on, not yet. And so what I want to do is I want to talk about that place that Jesus mentioned in his words. I go to prepare a place for you. I want to talk about the place. And what I want to do is really just show you in God's word that when we turn our hearts toward Jesus, when we turn our hearts toward heaven in the most difficult of times, there are going to be three simple things that happen. Okay, are you ready? Three simple things that will happen when we turn our hearts toward heaven in the troubled times. Here's number one. It reminds us that the world really is broken. When we turn our hearts toward heaven in the midst of trouble, I want you to know it's going to remind you that the world really is broken. Folks, this world that was created, that was given to us, was good. I mean, God said it is good. But then in Adam and Eve's decision to become like God, the world was broken. And the world to be repaired was only through Jesus Christ. But for the world to be restored to its fullness will come when Christ returns and we live in eternity with him for all time. So I want to say this to you. The world's a dark place. Oh, yes, it has beautiful moments. Yes, don't misunderstand me. But theologically, I want you to hear me. The world's a struggle. The world is trouble. And if we buy into the world's perspective, it's darkness. The world will try to convince you and me that we are moving toward a social utopia. You know what? I mean, it really is that humanity, the lifting of humanity above all things, even God, is moving toward a social utopia, and it's not. And if that's your expectation, you're going to be frustrated and you're going to be disappointed because of that. We all want to find a path where there are no obstacles. I want it. We all want to find a journey and a path where we don't have any challenges. And we would love to avoid all the troubles of the world, wouldn't we? I would, you would. I mean, we would love a smoother trail, wouldn't we? It always makes me remember, I love to snow ski, but I mean, gosh, y'all, it's been a long time since I've been snow skiing, but I always enjoyed it, just always. Every time I went, just had the best time. But I've got to tell you this. I want to make a confession to you. I'm not one of those black diamond skiers. I don't even like the blues, to be honest with you, that most of you probably, I like the greens and I love the name of a mountain called the Bunny Hill. But anyway, I am not into those mountains where it says it's got a nickname. If there's a mountain and I'm on a ski slope and it's got a nickname, I'm not in. Because usually the nickname is something like Devil's Drop. No, thank you. The Black Hole does not sound promising to me. Or the Body Bag. I mean, there's one called the Body Bag. I'm like, absolutely not. I mean, I have no interest in those whatsoever. I love to ski, but that's not my experience. And I'll never forget one year our church, our youth ministry, we went all the way to West Virginia. And we went on buses to go to West Virginia. My family went. I think Lindsay, my daughter, who's now 25, was about 7 or 8 at the time. But anyway, we all went, and there were lots of youth and families that went. We had a great time. Really, only 2 kids broke anything, and that was in the first 10 minutes we got there. I think that really did happen, just so you know. But when we were, it was Lindsay's first experience with snow. And I mean, snow skiing. And so she's little, and so they don't even give you poles. They just put, the skis on them, and off they go, and down the bunny hill. And I was going with her a lot, and we were just having fun. And she was getting the hang of it like that. She was just getting the hang of it. And so after the bunny hill run, 20 times, she wanted to try a green, one of those slopes, one of the green slopes. And so anyway, we did that, and the green slope kind of connected into a blue slope. Wasn't bad at all, and she handled it really well, and it took us all the way down one particular mountain. I mean, all the way down, and we were just laughing and having a great time. So then you know what comes next is you have to get in line to get on the lift to take you back up the mountain. So Lindsay's on one side, I'm on the other, and I said, okay, it'll come around, and we'll sit down, and perfect. We got on it, perfect. Picked us up, took us all the way to the top of the mountain. As we're now, it's now time to get off the lift. You know, I told Lindsay, she's 7 or 8. I said, hey, you know, we'll get off. I'll count 1, 2, 3, and we'll get off together. And then everything will be, you know, we'll just ski on out. So I kept trying to encourage her on that. She said, you know, fine. So anyway, 1, 2, 3, and off I go. Off I go, the lift. And I'm skiing right on out. I turn and look, and she's not there. I continue to turn and look, and she is still on the lift that is now turning and taking her back down the mountain because she thought I was going to hold her hand when we got off the mountain. And I mean, we got off the lift. But I didn't because I thought she was just going to jump off and we'd both kind of go. But anyway, I screamed to the people, you know, stop. And they did stop it. I thought I was going to have to ski down the mountain again to get her. But anyway, they got her off. And I'll never forget what she said. You know, she said something like this at 7 or 8 years of age. She said something like, why would you do that to me? You know, why would you do that to me? You know, my first thought was, well, I just really wanted to. But no, of course not. But why would you do this to me? And, you know, a lot of times in our lives, the disciples who were thrown off by the reality of the words of Jesus, I think they were all saying this, why would you say these things? And why would you do these things, Jesus? Why? And so Jesus didn't want his disciples to be thrown off, if you will, the reality that trouble might come. I want you to see in John 16 what Jesus said. In this world, he's talking, you know, to the disciples. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The word overcome, when you do a word study in Greek, you know what it means? I have conquered. In this world, you're going to go through troubles, but I have conquered the world. So that's one thing to remember. Here's the second thing to remember, that when Jesus goes to prepare a place for us, when he goes, you know, of heaven, when he goes to prepare a place for us, it inspires us to live on purpose. That means have your life on mission. That means have your life on purpose. What does that mean? That means if heaven is our home, I mean, think about this. If heaven is our home, then that means we're citizens of heaven. So I have a question. How do you live out your faith if you're a citizen of heaven? How do you do that in the world? How do you live out your faith in the world? I think some of us, you know, the reality, I think some of us, we just lean our heads up against like the car window and we close our eyes and we just wait for the trip to be over, right? I mean, that's kind of how we treat heaven. We just close our eyes, you know, we'll just wait on heaven, but you know, it basically ignore the reality that heaven is our vision, that it is an active vision in our lives because we are citizens of heaven. The disciples have been given a purpose. I mean, Jesus gave them a purpose, and this is what he said. I want you to go into all the world, and I want you to bring people into the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, I want you to welcome people home. That's what I want you to do. So here is what I want you to note in your own journey as a citizen of heaven. You're not just waiting on heaven. You're not just sitting around doing nothing. That is not it. We are supposed to point people to Jesus. No, not judge them. Show them, love them, encourage them, shine a light to them, and say to them, hey, put all of your weight on Jesus. Put all of your weight on Jesus. You know, I'll tell you the truth. When Jesus told the disciples, hey, you can't go with me right now, the trip that I'm about to take, you can't go, I think we all know technically they could have taken that same journey with Jesus, I mean, if we're being honest. But the reason why Jesus said, you can't go with me, he wasn't talking about his death. Do you know what he's talking about? Your mission. You're going to stay. You have a mission. You have a purpose. So folks, I'm going to tell you right now, your job and my job is not to sit around and wait on heaven. We have a purpose to shine a light of Jesus to the world. Here's the third thing. When Jesus goes to prepare a place for us, we're going to find greater hope and peace when the troubles of the world surround us. We are. You know why? Because we're going to have a new way of looking at life. Here's what I want you to remember. It even goes back to Jesus taught this and the Apostle Paul taught this. Okay, just so you know. Heaven is always the view. The lens is the cross. Heaven is the view, but the lens by which we look at life is through the cross. Jesus teaches that, and the Apostle Paul does. This journey of life can be challenging. There is no question about that. I mean, none whatsoever. But when we look at life, hear me, but when we look at life, we look at heaven through the lens of the cross. It creates joy. Do you understand this? It creates a sense of joy. That means fulfillment. That means purpose. Think about it this way. If you were to take a 6 to 8 hour drive and you were leaving Dothan, Alabama, and you were heading across country like to Mississippi, to Louisiana, whatever, and it's just basically flatlands, and you're just driving across from one state to another, 6 to 8 hour drive, wherever you're going. I mean, you're just going to be miserable. It's going to be long. It's going to be difficult, if you will. And basically, if you're doing that, you're going to say, I want to go back home. I just want to go back. This is too long. But if your drive, listen to me, if your drive was going to end up in Disney World, 6 to 8 hours to Disney World, now all of a sudden, think about it, it changes how you look at the journey. So when you focus on heaven through the lens of the cross, you travel differently. You look at life differently. That's what we hear from John's gospel. So I want you to focus on heaven for a minute, okay? Just for a moment. I want you to have just a moment to hear something about heaven. Because sometimes you and I get an idea of heaven, and this is it, that we have these little wings and we just float around, and it's not very inspiring to us. Let's be honest. You know, if you just put these little angel wings and they're real small and you're just floating around in heaven, you don't have the real crisp belief of what's happening in heaven, which is incredible. Revelation 21. I want to show you some things about heaven real quick. Here we go. Revelation 21, verse 2. Check this out. And John's writing, he has this incredible vision about the Holy One and Jesus and the new heaven and the new earth. And he says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Wow. Prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. You know what he's saying? The new Jerusalem, the new kingdom is beautiful. That's what he's saying. And the streets will have valuable jewels, if you will. And heaven, the idea is this. Heaven will be a breathtaking place for you and me, for all of us. And that the very same God who created the universe is the very same God who created heaven. And so when you hear the words that Jesus would say that I'm preparing a place for you, he is saying that the architect of creation is the architect of heaven. It's a very powerful thing when we understand it. Matter of fact, let me remind you this when you have chance. You read all of Revelation 21, and it's going to talk to you about the place, the heaven. And it's going to be unbelievable for you. It's a city of 1,500 miles, square miles cubed. Okay, that's what the Bible tells us. This is an incredible vision. It means that it goes up, it expands, and basically, you know, it's like 2 million square miles. 2 million square miles. So if you had to picture that, it's like from Canada to Mexico, stretched, and it also goes up the same amount. So it's a massive thought, belief, experience, okay, of heaven. And there's another idea about heaven that comes out of Revelation. You're going to be able to go in and out of heaven, if you will. What that means is you'll be able to move around. You'll be able to explore and experience. There's just going to be incredible hiking and exploring. I want you to understand this. There's going to be horses, and the Bible tells us other animals in heaven. I mean, the only restriction that I see there are cats. That was a joke. That was a joke. Isaiah 11 will talk to you about wolves and lions and lambs in the new earth. All right, now hear me. And the idea is that we will live in perfect relationships. So can you imagine right now? Can you imagine an elephant and a tiger living in harmony? Amazing. Amazing. There will be lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. There will be a few dinosaurs that might walk by you. It will be incredible. It will also be a place of rest. A place of rest. You know, you ask people, hey, how are you doing? What's the number one answer? Oh, I'm tired. How are you doing? I'm exhausted. You ever read the book of Psalms? David will say again and again and again, hey, breathe in. You know, and I love, it's not my idea. Someone else came up with it, but it's breathe in, you know, breathe in faith. You know, you're opening your heart to God and exhale the fear in your life. And that's really what David is saying. You know, breathe in God. Exhale the fear that you would have. Look at Revelation 14. John writes in his experience, I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Here's the idea, that when we die in Jesus, we rest. We rest. And you know, I think it's hard for a lot of us to really understand what this means. And the reason is we're busy, 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 busy. We're busy and we're making sure that our lives are full and all of this. And so the busyness just masks our insecurity. You know, it does. It masks our insecurities. Other times we're doing so much for our children and we love our children. But like I've told you many times, we worship at the feet of our children, which is wrong. And many times we will do and we will do and we will do for our children and we'll travel the world for them. So for whatever, but you know what we're doing? We mask all of that in doing for our kids, and it just reveals a brokenness about our lives. Well, heaven's going to be different. Heaven's going to be a place of rest. I want you to imagine this. Imagine life without pressure. Think about this. Life without stress, life without deadlines, life without bills. I'm going to say this to you. If you die and you go into eternity, of course, and all of a sudden you still have pressure and you still have bills and you still have deadlines and stress, you went to the wrong place because of the life you chose to live. Some of you, you're worn out. Why? Because your load is heavy. Because your load is heavy and you've tried to carry it for so long and you just can't set it down. You just cannot set it down, what you're going through. Heaven is a place, listen, it's not only a place of rest, but that rest, please hear me, is to remind you that God is in control of your life. So when you look at heaven through the lens of the cross, you experience this rest that reminds you that God is in control. We're having a little church right now. But heaven is also a place of loving relationships. We're going to be reunited, folks, with grandparents and parents and children and friends who have gone before us. We're going to be reunited. And there are going to be new relationships as well. I want you to see what Jesus says. Just watch this in Matthew chapter 8. This is unbelievable. Matthew chapter 8. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west, okay? Now watch what he does. And will take their places at the feast, all right, wake up, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. All right, if you're not careful, you're going to read right past that and not hear what Jesus was saying. Jesus is saying, hey, in heaven, you're going to be able to sit down and eat with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What? Oh, my goodness. I'm going to tell you right now, I can't wait. I mean, really, I want you to understand this. I can't wait because I want you to know, I'm going to be honest, I want to sit down with Adam. I want to sit down with Adam, and I want to look at Adam and say, what did you really think when you saw Eve for the first time? You don't want to know that? I want to know that. What did you really think? I want to ask Noah about that ark. And I want to say to Noah, why, when we did, you know, the 2x2, why did you bring 2 roaches? Why? I want to talk to Mary. And I want to say, Mary, I know Jesus. I mean, the things I've read, but tell me about him when he was a little boy. Just tell me. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to look for C.S. Lewis. Oh, I am. I'm going to want to have a visit with C.S. Lewis. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm going to play ball with Pete Maravich and Kobe Bryant. Yes, I am. The greatest thing about heaven is I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus. Face to face, just looking at him in his presence. Revelation 19. You're learning a lot about heaven. Stay with me. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, like loud peals of thunder shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. This is a praise song too, by the way, and it's unbelievable. For our Lord God reigns. And we're going to hear that. We're going to experience that. We're going to worship Jesus face to face. That means we're going to see him. We're going to experience him. And our souls, get this, the heart language of God within us, get that, the heart language of God within us will now recognize in heaven who created us and how he created us to be in relationship with him. Unbelievable. And Jesus says, listen, this heaven is going to be incredible. It's going to be incredible. But not yet for you, disciples, not yet. And you know what he's trying to say? Remember, you're going to live in a difficult world. But remember, this is heaven. Look what's going to happen. Look at the incredible things that are going to take place. Don't make it you got little wings floating around. No. Look at the incredible nature of heaven through the lens of the cross, and it changes everything. I know there are skeptics. I know some of you are here today, or you're experiencing this, and you're wondering, all right, now let's think this through, Hayes. So when I die, is God going to judge me? Is that what are you saying that? Yes, I am saying that. Well, how will he know what I've been through? How can he relate to what I've been through? And I'll just kind of grin. And then a skeptic will say, how could God ever know about my pain? How could God ever allow such pain in the world? And many of us want to know, has God ever experienced hardship or pain? What? And to all the skeptics, I would say, just look at Jesus. Just look at Jesus. He willingly laid down his life so that you and I could have life. It means that you and I, we can stop pushing God away from our existence, and we can begin to approach the throne of grace with confidence that we are loved, not because we're perfect, not because of anything, but in the darkest night of our souls, God will not abandon us. And you can believe him, because he's preparing for you. That's what Jesus said. Believe in me, disciples. You know me, and I'm preparing for you. So until then, remember this real quick, okay? Real quick. Living this life is like going to be visiting an ice cream store. And you walk into the ice cream store, and it's a store of just samples. And you're going to walk in, and you go, well, I want to try that. And so they give you that, and it's a sample. And you eat it and you go, oh my gosh, that is delicious. I would like more of this. I'd like a scoop of this. And they say, no, we only serve samples here. And that's what I want you to know about the earth. I want you to hear me, folks. The earth is not your heaven. This earth is beautiful, but it's a sample. It's just a sample of all that God wants us to see, remember, of heaven through the lens of the cross. And so what Jesus says, when you want to get in a hurry with whatever life is, and he will say, nope, not yet, not yet. And so we watch the news. We read social media. We see what's happening in the world. And let's be honest, we get a little on edge. And some of us even begin to ask the question, are we there yet? I mean, is the kingdom coming? I mean, is this it? Are we going to see him? And Jesus says, not yet. And then in the vision, you remember, Jesus says, but don't worry, I'm making everything new. Don't you worry, I'm making everything new. So Jesus is preparing for you and for me. So now I want to bring some clarity, and I really want to be honest with you as we close. I want to be very honest with you, because I think it's important to be honest with my own life and for you to be honest with your life. So let me be clear. It's your decision. It's your decision to live through the framework of heaven or to live through the framework of hell. You see, it's your decision. And I want you to know, if you choose to live your life the very way you want, selfish, self-centered, broken, dark, I mean, if you choose that, I want you to know, you are choosing hell. I want you to hear me. You're choosing hell, and I'll go one step further with you. You're going to deserve it, because this is the life you've chosen. But if you open your heart to Jesus, if you open your heart to Jesus, the gift of salvation, listen, and you look at him and you look at life through the lens of the cross, you're going to see heaven. You're going to see it. And you know what you're going to know? You know what you're going to find out? You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. It's God's job. He willingly chose you to welcome you home. Let's pray. God, there are moments like these where the reality of your word is just amazing. To give us a picture and a glimpse and a sample of heaven, not as little angel wings floating around someplace, no, but the beauty of exploring and experiencing and sitting down and having lunch with people and reuniting in loving relationships and to discover real rest and to know that our hearts can understand that you are in control. Oh God, give us heaven. To those of you who have been making choices in a different direction, you've been choosing a different way of life. You've been choosing hell. I want you to know right now, in the spirit and the love of Jesus Christ, you can come home. Lord Jesus, you pray, forgive me. And he does. Lord Jesus, enter my life, and he does. Lord Jesus, shine your light in me, and he will. And you can know, through the lens of the cross, you can see heaven. Father, hear our prayer. Hear our prayer. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I hope if you made a decision for Jesus, you'll let us know. We'll email us, send us a text. You could do it through Facebook and social media platforms privately if you so desire. And our worship teams or the pastors, we will connect with you. But if you've made a decision for Jesus, don't keep it to yourself. Let us celebrate with you. We love you. We look forward to this incredible series and what God is going to do. Where do we go from here? We have a view of heaven. God bless.